Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
Fantastic. Okay. I'm not going to speak for long, only in my father's tradition, the usual 40 minutes. No, I'm going to probably keep you about another 5 or 10 minutes. The smell of bread wafting out of the kitchen was making me salivate really badly, and I'm really looking forward to tasting some of it. Jenny has assured me that everybody washed their hands before they started making bread, so it's okay. It'll be safe to eat. It'll be good. So it's come down to me to summarize this morning what we've been looking at, and I hope you've enjoyed that time, and I hope you've been able to maybe engage with these passages that we've looked at in maybe a different way from what is usual. And I think sometimes for me that change is useful, because it brings stuff afresh to your brain. When we started putting this service together in Lasers, we spent some time thinking about what harvest means to us. And we talked about, the reason we sang We Plough the Fields and Scatter was that most of them had never ever heard of that song. I mean, we used to sing it kind of like every year at school and at church, and it was a staple song of harvest time. But they're so disconnected with harvest and tractors and fields and wheat and that kind of stuff, because all they've ever known is going to Lidl or Aldi or Sainsbury's or whatever, any number of a million supermarkets, and you walk down the aisles of the supermarkets and there's thousands and thousands of goods there, and it's very easy for us to take that for granted. And that was one of the things that came out really strongly, that sometimes we can just take for granted that you know, for them the food arrives in the cupboards and they empty the cupboards. That's what happens in our house, and Beth's nodding, that's what happens in her house, I know, and they go, where's this? And you say, well, you've eaten it all. Oh. And there's that sense that we can quite quickly and quite easily just take for granted that stuff is going to be there all the time. And so we thought, well, that led us to thinking about being thankful for what we have. And like I say, it's easy when we come to a very familiar passage to think about that passage and think that we've got all the learning that we're ever going to learn out of that passage. We might have known that passage since we were as young as some of these youngsters running around here. But I find, personally, when I pause and spend some time looking again whilst asking God to show me something new, something fresh from his word, he often does. And so we decided to link these three passages that you've been thinking about this morning, and we decided to try and kind of get you out of your seats and get you out of the familiarity of these passages and make you move about a bit and maybe think afresh about these passages. So give us today our daily bread. It's part of the Lord's Prayer. We used to recite that on a weekly basis, and the words just trot off the tongue, don't they? And you can struggle to actually make any sense of them. They just become this sound that is familiar to you. And so our daily bread is amazing. What we, you know, the fact that we can go to those supermarkets and buy that food. And we wanted to turn that on its head and just say, what else is there that we can be thankful for? And there's so many things. When we stopped and thought, and we spent a bit of time in Lasers just sort of asking God about to show us, to bring to our minds what we could be thankful for, which is why we went for that tree of thankfulness. And we thought it would be great just to sort of practically demonstrate that with some bread, that we can enjoy the goodness of that. So here's bread, we can be thankful for it, but actually it tastes really good. Fresh bread is amazing. And And we can taste and see. There's a verse that says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And that's why we wanted to do that. And then this links to the passage in Matthew 6 about not worrying. And this passage, again, is probably a very familiar passage to a lot of you. And we can all agree, I think, that it speaks a lot of truth. And worrying is not good for us. Who by worrying, I was used to think this when I was a kid, who by worrying can add an hour to his life? Or the older version said, or a cubit to his height. And I thought, well, I don't really want to be any taller. I'm tall enough. So that doesn't apply to me. But the sense here is that worry serves no purpose other than to make us miserable and shorten our life. What's the antidote to worry? Some people worry that they've got nothing to worry about. I'm looking across at somebody, but what is the antidote to worry? The antidote to worry is realizing what our standing is before God. What does that passage say? It says, look at the flowers of the field, look at the birds of the air. Are you not more valuable than them? That's how God sees us. We're valued, we're highly valued by Him. He loves us. And just over the page from that passage is Matthew 7, and there's this bit which I think is great in Matthew 7, verse 9 to 12. We're just going to read it to you. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, will you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So, if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him? We can ask Him to take our worries away. And that's why we thought it's very easy to go, yeah, I agree with that passage. I'm going to do that. And then we hand them over to God. And then we pick them back out, don't we? And go, and you wake up in the middle of the night worrying about that thing that you've already given to God. So we thought it would be useful. It might be useful to you to pictorially take a worry, write it on a bit of paper, put it in a fire, it's gone. Once it's in that fire, it's burned up, it's disappeared. And that's what God wants for us. He wants to take our worries away. He wants us to realize how highly valued we are by Him, how much He loves us. He's like that good father who won't give us a stone instead of bread. He won't give us a snake instead of fish. And then that linked us to this story about the feeding of the 5,000, which is a classic from our childhood. If you've been brought up in church, you were doing this story from age 2 onwards. And this is one of those stories where you go, oh yeah, I know that story. I've got everything I'm going to get out of that story. Yeah, Jesus got, yeah, 5 loaves, 2 fish, yeah. And he fed loads of people. Great, brilliant. But when you actually stop and look at that story, it is incredible. Something horrible had just happened. John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus, had just died. He'd just been beheaded. And Jesus takes his disciples and he said, let's go to a solitary place. Let's get away from it all and let's consolidate. Let's think. Let me teach you. So he goes away. But when he arrives at the solitary place, there's 5,000 people there. Now, imagine what that would be like if you were wanting solitude, you wanted quiet, and there's 5,000 people. I'd probably be a bit grumpy, I've got to be honest. But it says, Jesus had compassion on them. That's the character of Jesus. And it says, he had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. He met their needs. And his disciples went, right, you've done enough, Jesus. Get rid of these people, because it's getting late, and, you know, we want our tea. And we've had a hard day. And Jesus turns that on its head, doesn't he? And he says, you feed them. They're thinking, that's impossible. There's no way we can do that. And some of the versions you might have read say it would take 8 months' wages to give these people even just a morsel. And Jesus said, well, what have you got? And he said, well, the disciples say, we've only got 5 loaves and 2 fish. Very small resources. They're like, almost like, well, that's going to, like, that won't even feed us. And this is the bit that leapt off the page to me. Jesus said, bring that to me. Bring it to me. And in the hands of Jesus, our small resources are multiplied. And so, I want you to realize that you might think that you've got not much to offer. You might think you couldn't stand at the front, and you couldn't sing, and you couldn't do anything kind of up front, and you've just got a very small amount of resources. I want to encourage you today to take those small resources that you've got and bring them to Jesus and offer them to him. He says, bring them to me. Bring what you've got to me. And if you bring what you've got to him, he will multiply it beyond your imagination, I'm sure. And so, that's about all I want to say today. Just in summary, be thankful for what we have. Take some time to be thankful and praise God for that. Realize that before God you are highly valued. He loves you to bits. And come with what you have. Offer it to him and ask him to multiply it, and he will.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.